So creation energy is actually when you shift into a state of consciousness where you're like, cool, I'm no longer seeing money as a tool to survive. I'm actually seeing it as like, cool, this is playful and fun. How good does it get to be? What else can I do with this magic? Like, what else am I creating? And you're coming from a place of joy and excitement as opposed to trying to keep the wheel turning. And I think that's like, that's where we want to be.
This is The Universe Is Your Sugar Daddy. If you have been reading all the books and listening to all of the things on how to manifest, but still haven't been able to crack all the codes to your abundance, this is the show for you. Hi, I'm Alexis Jane, coach to entrepreneurs ready for massive growth. This show is to help you unlock your unique abundance codes, learn to trust the universe and have fun in the process. Hit subscribe to join me and begin to manifest your dream life and have fun by taking loads of action. Welcome back to The Universe Is Your Sugar Daddy. Today, I have the divine Katie with me today, and she helps activate women into magnetism, wealth, and leadership. Welcome to the show.
Yay, thank you for having me.
You're so very welcome. So a few years ago, I had a podcast called You Are the Magic, and I popped a post out to the universe and said, would you like to be interviewed on my podcast? And Katie was one of those beautiful humans, and we've just created a beautiful relationship over the last couple of years. And I have loved witnessing your whole journey. And I'd love to know, how did you step into the spiritual manifestation space?
Thank you. Yes, it has been a real journey since I first spoke to you a couple of years ago. But I would say that my first introduction to this realm was when I read The Secret. Maybe it would have been like, I would have literally been about 21 or 20 years old. So that would have been 15 years ago now. And I remember reading that book and just having this complete understanding of everything in it. And I was like, this makes perfect sense. Of course, we create our realities. Of course, I need to focus on gratitude and this and that and the other. And that kind of just like opened up my consciousness a little bit, I would say. And then that was kind of it for me until I had my full spiritual awakening in 2015 on the back of like a very catastrophic relationship breakup, which just like woke me up. And then I kind of was like dabbling in the world of like crystals and the moon and manifestation and those kind of things when I was living in Sydney. And yeah, it just accelerated and accelerated from there. And now it's obviously like what I do for my work, but it's such a huge part of my life. But I just feel like, we're meant to get a little knock on the door, like a little, you know, awakening at some point. And I feel like that book that I read all those years ago was my thing of like, open up your mind, open up your consciousness. There's another way of existing.
Oh my God. I love that so much. Mm-hmm. And as we were talking just before we jumped on here, this year for both of us has been one of a journey, if I can say. Yeah. And a few weeks ago or a few months ago, I can't remember when it was, it feels like forever ago, mm-hmm. I reached out and said, are you ready to jump on and do the interview? And you're like, I'm going overseas tomorrow. Yeah. So leading up to that magical moment of buying your first class ticket and going traveling and meeting people when you're over there by posting wherever you were and having those experiences. Yeah. What was the thing that shifted inside of you to really own that you're now a first class flyer?
I feel like this is such an important thing, right? Because I believe like there's all the notions of manifestation. And to me, it's like quite a multi-layered thing. And I think an identity shift has to take place before we can actually welcome anything into our physicality. And so it was so interesting because like 3 years ago, I created a Pinterest board of this trip I wanted to go on. This was in the middle of, you know, the big C word. We weren't allowed to travel, you know, like it was unlikely that this was going to come to fruition anytime soon, but I knew I wanted to go on this trip. And I was like, I'm going to create the dream trip on a Pinterest board. And so I would look at this thing so often over the last 3 years and feel like I want that thing, but it felt far away. It felt outside of me, but one day I'll do it. And about a year ago, I got this soul download that I would be traveling to Scotland, England, et cetera, this time, you know, in September this year. And it still felt a little bit unbelievable, but I started to really like visualize pretty much daily that I was doing this trip and that I would be on the first class flights. I made a whole Pinterest board just of first class Emirates flights because I was like, I want to do this thing. And I put out this like, so I had a lot of stuff come up around this because it was like, it's an identity shift, right? Like my ego and my programming was like, who do you think you are? It's such a waste of money. You should put all your money into your business, blah, blah, blah. And so I was constantly having to overcome these feelings. So I say, universe, if you give me the money for the flight, like in one payment into my bank account, I'll go and book the flights. Now, I already had flights overseas, but I was like, I'll do the upgrade. And literally like 2 days later, a client messages me and says that they want to do an upgrade of a contract with me and they want to pay in full, which was literally the amount for the flights, right?
Of course.
But I then freaked out so much because I hadn't done the identity work to make that shift within myself that I went into a panic because I was like, oh my God. Yeah, I wanted it, but what is it? Now I actually have to book the flights. And all my stuff came up in a really big way, it like raged. So for like 24 hours, I was in this panic about like, now I'm going to have to do the thing and I'm not ready and like it's a waste of money and blah, blah, blah. And that client turned around 2 days later and said, I don't want to do the container.
And how interesting. I've got full goosebumps.
Right. And I was like, I know. This is a reflection of my inner state and I've repelled this because I wasn't receptive enough to actually be able to receive it. My nervous system flipped out. It felt too much. It was too much of a jump because also like we were speaking about before, I'd been through a really difficult time this year. Lots of personal stuff happened and I'd come out of like the worst time of my life and kind of gone, okay, I've got 3 months, like 90 days to go all in on this vision, first class, X amount of money into my business, literally living my dream life. I've got 90 days to pull this thing off. So it was like, I went all in on this manifestation. So it finally appears and I flipped out. That client bailed. And I was like, instead of going into a story around this or anything else, I'm going to absolutely anchor in that I've seen now where the gap is in my identity work. And I've seen who I need to become internally to welcome that. And I know if this happens like that with such ease, it'll happen again. But next time I'll be ready and I'll just book the freaking flights. So that's what happened. It's like I had to have this little purge of old identities and old patterns in order to welcome it in.
And I think that that's so powerful what you said. And you said earlier, it felt so outside of your body. And this is something that I really talk to my clients about. It's like, does the image feel inside or external? Well, it feels so far away. It's far out in the distance. Yeah. Okay, cool. So you need to, like you said, bring that in. But it is that identity shift. And the one thing that I love that you said was universe, if this is meant for me, what were the exact words you said?
Universe, if you bring me the money or if you drop the money in my account for the flights, I'll book them.
2 days later, it happened. And I love that you said 2 days after, that client retracted and you knew it was your energy and your identity.
Yeah.
And that's taking full radical responsibility for who you are, for your energy and your vessel. And I think that this is something that's really not spoken about in manifesting. When it's like, oh, they've said yes, they've said yes. And I went to a networking thing last night and I'm talking about sales and a words I hadn't heard for a long time was commission breath. I was like, yes. And I know that I've had commission breath this week. And then when he said that, I was like, oh, I just need to like let that commission breath go completely. And then this morning I did a $10,000 sale before 7 a.m. And someone that I'd reached out to who had previously said no came back and said, yes, I'm ready. Yes, I'm in.
Amazing.
Yeah. So it's in the identity. It's in, and like you said, there's multiple layers to it. It's not just, oh, I want it. It's turning up. That can work. I want it. Show me where it's coming from. And you don't know who it's coming from or how it's going to show up for you, but it's having that trust and that faith. But the biggest thing is identity.
I really believe this because even with my clients, I'll always notice that they've embodied the identity before the thing comes in. So they'll say to me, it's like, I can feel it. It's like right there in my field. Like I already am the version that's got it. It just hasn't appeared in physicality. And I'm like, that's when the thing drops in because you're the version of you that can hold space for it. And I always look at it through that perspective instead of, I believe we have to become the version of us that can hold the thing. Like when you can hold it, you can have it, right? So when you can hold it, you can have it. And until then, I think that all of the affirmations and the whatever, it's helpful because it helps with the identity shift. But I don't think that's the thing that creates the magic. I think it's like an embodied up level that we take somehow. And you know, for me, one of the things I did to do the first class flights was that flying domestically, I booked all business class because I was like, cool. And I would upload the codes and I'd sit in the thing and I would like have the glass of, you know, champagne or whatever and be like, this is the new normal. I am uploading this as my new reality. Like, this is who I am now. And it just felt like those little pieces helped me become a version of me that felt like, yeah, it's normal. Of course, I'm going to fly first class. People were literally like everyone loved it. But people were like, what the hell? Like, who the hell decides that they're going to fly first class to Europe on Emirates? It's literally the most extravagant thing ever. And I'm like, me, that's who. And it was amazing. So yeah, I do think that there's ways that we can anchor in that embodiment before something comes to life. And then the key is, how do I hold myself in full trust in the gap where I'm this version of me and that hasn't dropped in yet? And I really saw this with the flights because as it got closer and closer, I was like, shit, what if I can't fly first? Like, would I do business? Like, is that that? And it literally felt wrong in my body. I was like, I can't have any other reality unfold apart from this because I've invested so much of myself into it. I see myself in it. Like, it has to be that. It just can't be any other way. Then I kind of had to let go. And that's, you know, the whole thing, the whole trip was literally like my dream trip in every way that I'd conjured up in my own mind and really emotionally connected into and bought into on such a deep level, that to the point that when I was in Scotland, I got home and about a week ago, so I've been back for like 4 weeks, I'm looking through my Pinterest board and I see a picture of a house and I'm like, holy shit. I took that exact same photo when I was in Scotland and I went and looked through my photos and I've taken an exact picture of the exact same house in the Scotland Highlands that I'd had on my Pinterest board for 3 years.
Holy shit.
Yeah. And didn't even realize that I was there and that, you know, had no idea when I was there. So.
And so when you say embody it, like this is something that I really struggled with at the beginning. Like I'd be sitting on the floor, like, having a full-on cry. Like I can still visualize the unit that I was living in, sitting on the floor, having a full cry, releasing and letting go. And I'd had a call with my coach and we did a visualization. And within minutes, had a phone call and the girl said to me, I'm ready to work with me. Send me the invoice. I'll pay you in full. It was $5,000. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, how do I do this? Oh my God. And it was so easy. Then I decided that it was too easy. So I completely screwed myself for ages after that phone call. And it's, this is where the power is with the embodiment. So how do you explain embodying it before you have it?
Yeah. So what you've just spoken about, I believe, are you saying that someone was like $5,000 pay in full and that was like too easy and then you freaked out and it wasn't like that again for a while? Is that what happened?
Yeah.
For you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this happens a lot with my clients and this is what I'm always explaining to them. If our body and our nervous system doesn't feel safe to receive the thing because it feels too foreign, oftentimes we'll just completely reject it and we will bounce back into what was so safe and familiar beforehand, even if it's not what we want, right? So
yep.
Oftentimes when people have their biggest ever financial month in their business, they then like bottom out the other side and that's why we go on the roller coaster. And so embodiment for me, because I teach the divine feminine everything. And a part of that is embodiment. Like to me, it's to be in the body. And for so many of us, we are quite programmed to be in our masculine mind, right? And so it's the ability to be in the body and then do the work to regulate our nervous system, you know, so it's in more of a state of homeostasis so that when things like that happen, we don't flip out into a fight or flight response and we can actually hold more. And I honestly think that's a huge part of where we're headed in terms of manifestation and energy, because in the past we've been working out of a paradigm of the mind and thoughts create worlds, and that's the masculine. But as we're kind of coming into more of a stage of embodiment of a equal amount of feminine masculine energy within and without, and this is just the way I see it because of what I teach, we're going to have to harmonize with feeling safe in our body to receive these things in order to get the fullness of, you know, what we came here, the bountiful gifts that are available to us in this human experience. And so finding that safety, like, yes, do the identity to be like, you know, that whole time that I'm talking about before my trip, I was regulating my nervous system like a mofo every day because I was like wanting to keep myself in a state that, because I also accelerated from, you know, I'd had to take my foot off the pedal in my business for quite some time because of the floods. And it was like I bounced into 30-40k cash months straight off the back of that, and they were consistent for several months in a row, and I could feel how unsafe it felt in my body, like it was too good. So I was really having to regulate, you know, in order to feel safe that it's okay. Like, yeah, it's unfamiliar, but it's a safe place to be. So I think that's actually something that gets missed when we talk about this work.
Oh my God, 100%. And go back and listen to that part again, because that is so powerful. The regulation and feeling safe in your body, being able to hold it. And I feel that creating more cash flow in your life and in your business, it's like building a muscle. And it's the continual work. You don't just go to the gym and just do it once. And it's the same in your business. It's same with your inner work. It's same with identity. And it's same with embodiment, is you've got to continue building that muscle and continue embodying that new version of who you are to have those things that you want and desire.
Yeah, 100%. And the journey I like to take my clients on is from survival energy to creation energy, because they're two very different energies, right? But most of us unconsciously have been completely operating out of survival energy our whole life because of our trauma, because of generational trauma, because of the way we were raised, you know, what our parents believed about money and luxury and wealth. And so we're used to being in survival mode, which means like, hopefully I can make enough to make ends meet. Hopefully I get to the end of this month. That feels normal. So creation energy is actually when you shift into a state of consciousness where you're like, cool, I'm no longer seeing money as a tool to survive. I'm actually seeing it as like, cool, this is playful and fun. How good does it get to be? What else can I do with this magic? Like, what else am I creating? And you're coming from a place of joy and excitement as opposed to trying to keep the wheel turning. And I think that's like, that's where we want to be when we want to create really epic, manifest, amazing, epic, because we're powerful creators. Like, we literally are creative life force energy. That's who we truly are, you know, and from an energetic point of view. But then there's this human part of us that has been deeply embedded with this survival programming. And we're kind of like, you know, trying to work with these two very different aspects of self. And so it's like, I honestly believe with integration of any kind, it's like there's the energetic work that we have to do, then the emotional work, the mental work, and then the work with the physical body. If you come at it from those four layers, you open yourself up to a completely different realm where it does become more of a playground and you get to create, you know, what you truly desire.
I love the words that you just said with being in playful mode. And one question I love asking my clients when they very first come to me is, when was the last time you had a proper belly laugh? Yeah. When was the last time your stomach hurt, you couldn't breathe, you had tears flowing out of your face? When was that? And I do it very consistently. This year's been really hard, but over the last 4 weeks, 5 weeks, every day I'm in hysterics, mm-hmm. whether I've thought about something funny or whatever. And it's just, it lightens up the energy, because we get so dense in our energy of that need and desperation and the thing that I want's not here yet. And you can feel the density in somebody's energy. But when you laugh and you think about when you're having like a proper laugh, there's no resistance there and there's lightness. And I love how you said, how good does it get to be? Like, that's such a powerful line that I use quite frequently, is how good does it get to be?
Yeah, so powerful. And I started asking that when I was in my darkest point earlier this year. Like it was really bad. I'd really found myself in a pit where I was like, I just don't know if I can do this again. Like I can't get back. Too much for me. Like, and it was so bad that I was like, I really had this moment because I was like praying to spirit. I was like, I don't actually know how to get back up and do this again. I've been through a lot in my life, like overcome a lot of big things. And this thing has pretty much broken me. And I literally had this download and it was like, this can be the thing that knocks you on your ass finally and breaks you totally. Like that's a possibility. Or this can be the most powerful shift that you ever have that catapults you into your highest timeline of relationship, money, business, whatever, but you have to choose. And I was like, that was just this tiny little spark of like belief that I needed to, okay, that's what I choose. It was a conscious choice. Like I'm choosing that. I'm going after it. It's going to be the most powerful, you know, transformation that ever takes place in my life where all my dreams come true and I purge out and release all this stuff that hasn't served me that got me in this position in the first place. But every single day I would wake up and I'd be like, okay, universe, show me how fucking magical, delicious and good it gets to be today. And that was like my mantra, right?
Oh my God.
It's shifting.
Rewind and listen to that part again and write that down because that is fucking magical.
Yeah.
It's so magical. And the way that we speak to ourselves, and it is the old paradigm, your thoughts do create, but it is the thoughts, the embodiment, the emotion, and the belief that it's available to you.
Yeah.
Because for a very long time, my clients were getting phenomenal results. And I'm like, oh, but that's not available to me. Mm. I can't raise my prices because that's not available to me. Because if I raise them, they're going to say no, and they're not going to come and work with me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's can be such a mind fuck on what is available to you. And when I went back and looked at it, my dad was amazing at what he did, but there was this underlying belief that he wasn't worthy or whatever that looked like. And that's his stuff, but I'd carried that on into my world as well.
Yeah. And that's why I talk about the generational trauma. Like it's like we have our lived experience, what happened to us as children or in our lifetime, you know, the programming that's installed is from age 0 to 7, every single thing that you're exposed to, absorbed, saw, heard, were around, that's your programming. And from that point onwards in your life, your mind creates from that program over and over and over again. So the only way to deconstruct that is to deprogram by doing the kind of work that we do. But then there's the generational, you know, what gets carried down through the generations. And, you know, I feel like there's so much work to be done. Like it just feels like it's never going to end. But the beautiful part about doing this is that we create freedom that, you know, our ancestors never had. And it's honestly coming back to that remembrance of like, I am the most powerful creator. Like I'm literally like this source, creative life force energy. And that's my truth. And everything else is just part of the program, part of this holographic reality, if you want to think about it like that, or like a byproduct of the programming that's been installed. And all I have to do is kind of rewire the programming and I can create whatever I want.
Oh my goodness. So juicy and delicious. Is there a tool, a technique, a book, a person that you go to, or is there something that you want to share with the listeners that will help them start to embody more, start looking at their identity?
Yeah, I think I really love Joe Dispenza's work so much because I think Joe brings this like really scientific, logical explanation to the magic of the quantum field, like a mechanical explanation that we often don't understand. Like I'm a very woo-woo channel, mystical, like I don't even need to know the logic, but like I just have a feeling, you know, so that's me.
I totally relate.
No, but I feel like I've done one of his meditations that's like a morning meditation of a future vision, you know, largely daily for the last 12 months. And the vision was the trip and where my business is at now and all of the things. I did it daily and every single morning, like I got into that program. I was installing a new program, you know, overriding the old programming. And it was so fascinating because when I was on my trip, I really didn't do any of my inner work or whatever. I was just having a great old time. You know, all the things I'd normally do went by the wayside. But I went to do that meditation one day and I was blank. because I was like, oh my God, I don't even know what I want to create now because I've been so focused on this vision that's fully come to life. I have no idea what I'm trying to bring into my reality. And I was like, wow, that's so fascinating because, like, firstly, I did it. But secondly, I think you can both be content with where you're at and be really happy with where you're at, because I think that's a powerful piece in the manifestation game. It's like feeling great, grateful and, like, you know, blessed for where you're at. But for me, I think to always have that future timeline that you're tapping into, that you're drawing information from, that you're bringing closer by getting into the reality before it happens. So yeah, I love Joe's work. He has awesome stuff. And I think those future visualizations are really helpful.
It is so powerful. So where do you hang out most? How do people reach out to you and connect?
So Facebook and Instagram are my two most, where I'm there all the time, pretty much. And it's Katie_V for Venus, and then Danelle, which is DANELLE. _MORIARTY. So Katie V. Danelle Moriarty. I know it's a long one, but it's numerologically resonant with the number of the queen energy. So therefore that's my name. Talking about manifestation.
Love it.
Instagram and Facebook is where I can be found.
Yeah. And we'll have her links in the show notes. Thank you so much for coming and playing with me today.
Thanks, my love. It's been really fun. And till the next one.
Till the next one, exactly. Bye, darling. I'm Alexis Jane, and you've been listening to The Universe Is Your Sugar Daddy. If you've enjoyed the show, please share the love by hitting subscribe, rating and reviewing the show in your favorite podcast app. Come and join me in my free community on Facebook, Project You, to get more high vibe goodness. And if you want more help manifesting the life you desire, you can connect with me. My details are in the show notes. Join me next time on The Universe Is Your Sugar Daddy. Bye.